Well, thank you very much, Terry. And many of you I recognize from the previous session. So we talked a lot about marketing through channel marketing, what I call the third stage. 20 years ago, we invested in CRM. 10 years ago, we invested in marketing automation. Today, with 75% of world trade going indirectly, the last mile is paved with third parties, channels, partnerships, alliances. I've probably got four of the smartest people in this area on stage, so I'm going to try to do less talking than more talking. Really excited about the panel. Maybe we can start at the left if you want to introduce yourself, and we'll get right into it.
Okay. Jennifer and I am Vice President of Marketing for Ingram Micro. And Ingram Micro is a $50 billion distributor of technology. We also have a creative agency in-house where we take our Ingram Micro hat off and we do work for those people that are doing business in the technology industry.
Mary Work, company is White Fox Marketing. We established in 2005. We're a channel exclusive firm, so all we do is channel mostly on the PR side. We dabble into the marketing as well, but from the brand discovery efforts and more of the strategy behind it.
Hi, I'm Tracy Dizier with TDZ Creative Partners. I'm the president and CEO. We believe that nothing is created alone, and all of the work we do stems from that in terms of helping channel marketers achieve more than they could by themselves. So oftentimes we operate in a very personalized, individualized way to help them be extensions of their team.
Hi, Angela Levitt with Mojo Marketing, the founder and CEO, and we're the first and only full-service marketing agency to focus exclusively on the telecom and IT channels, and about 80 to 90% of our business is focused channel exclusive, and the rest is we're helping customers go direct to customer.
Well, great. Thank you for the introduction. So for those of you that were here this morning, I shared a couple of big numbers. When we look at across Forrester, across the B2B and B2C space in marketing, we're predicting channel marketing to be the fastest growing over the next 5 years. Compounded growth rates of 25% every year, and it all adds up to a $4.5 billion market. And the interesting thing is there's about 35 software companies, and several of them are in the room here, that participate. That'll be about a billion of that number. But 3.3 billion of it will be services. So there's a huge opportunity for the entire, and this is all industries, all 27 industries, looking at marketing to, through, and with the channel. So I'd like to ask first, maybe all of you, are you seeing this growth? What are you hearing from customers? What are you seeing in your own business? Maybe start at the end with Jennifer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being in the tech industry, our partners love technology. So what we see is they often, you know, acquire the technology, whether it's marketing automation or a digital stack, and they don't necessarily have the resources to use it or to dedicate that time. So there's definitely sort of a gap in between those customers, those partners that are really marketing savvy and they have great teams, and just those that, you know, have the tools but just can't use them. They don't have the resources that they need. And then those partnered, a long list of partners that have zero marketing in-house at all.
I think we're seeing some comebacks, right? We're seeing some big wins with some big brands that came back to the channel or who really never even had a channel, came back in, and they're seeing tremendous success. Dell EMC would be a huge example of that, just completely investing in the channel. On the other side, you're seeing some people make some irrational decisions and, you know, walk away from the channel to try to go be everything online to everybody. And I think you're going to see some bounce back. Right? And it ebbs and flows. We've seen it, you know, over the last 30 years of doing, I haven't been doing this for 30 years, but like, you know, 20 years doing this. We've seen it. We've seen it, and I think it's just cyclical. But also, you've seen companies now that they're coming into the channel, they recognize they need to go through the channel to have the reach into the mid-market and the SMB, but they don't necessarily have the staff internally to do that, and they give it to one person, and they say, here you go. Channel marketing is yours, execute. And that one person's going, you better give me a budget, right? Because it's impossible to do it yourself. This is a collaborative industry, it's a collaborative space, and gotta make it happen.
So just for context, our clients are in technology as well, and they're mostly mid-level to director. So similar to what the other ladies were saying, really the challenge is essentially they're trying to do it all, they're trying to differentiate, they're trying to innovate, And sometimes they're teams of one because channel's sort of like the redheaded stepchild for global marketing, et cetera. So I won't be saying any client names. and essentially, you know, they really just need to invest. And so sometimes they're investing in, say, the PRM systems. And then because they have so many competing responsibilities, they don't necessarily have the time to do the care and feeding, you know, to nurture that, to have the content be up, to keep it fresh, to even go through the training. So those are some of the challenges we're seeing is they're investing to protect their investment. And that's probably the answer to a different question. That's part of it.
Yeah, the question was like, are we seeing the channel growth?
Yes.
Like, yes, overwhelmingly. One of our clients is a what's called a master agent or distributor of technology, and they're not even one of the largest ones. And they had modest growth, but it was like crazy growth compared to like a typical business, right? And so, just showing them that so much business is being funneled through the channel now, and almost everyone that we talk to, like I said, we don't do channel exclusive, but almost everyone is considering if they do not have a channel program today, like how do we launch one? How do we get in on this action and grow an effective channel program?
That's great. And at Forrester, when we do a lot of surveys and we ask companies, and we got a lot of technology here, so 50% of technology companies, and there's about 10,000 of them that have channels, actually do some type of through channel marketing. They use software and they try to automate it. What's interesting though is only 17% of them are satisfied with that. And it actually mirrors another number, which is 17% of partners who use it. So adoption is very, very low. And those numbers are probably matching on purpose. So maybe Jennifer, you see the vendor piece of this and the thousands of vendors that are part of the Ingram ecosystem, as well as hundreds of thousands of partners that are part of the Ingram ecosystem.
Yeah.
What do you think is wrong? What do you think is driving those low numbers?
I think a couple things. One is just what I mentioned, that the channel partners don't have the staff to actually do the marketing. I think another thing is complexity of the marketing programs and the channel programs themselves. Partners often, I mean, we often hear partners say, I don't want anything to do with MDF, and I don't have time to claim for it, get it, you know, all the rules and regulations that go along with that. So that complexity is also, and then alternatively, partners really want to market who they are. And I think we've seen a big shift in that over the last couple of years because they didn't necessarily invest in their own brands before, and now they are. You know, we've helped over 50 partners rebrand themselves entirely, you know, to basically tell their story about who they are and why you should work with them, right? And that's changing a lot. So having a way to be able to tie a channel program or a marketing message into their story and help to bolster that is really, really key.
Yeah, we hear a lot of that as well. And to a vendor, it's so hard. You've probably spent 37 years marketing from a product perspective,
yeah.
Speeds and feeds and value and feature function benefit and things like that. And trying to tell somebody and have a conversation that says, you know, if you allow your partner to brand themselves, all boats rise. They're going to get in more conversations. They'll have higher visibility. They'll have a better level of trust in front of the customer. And when they bring you in, the chances of closing are going to be that higher. So, you know, Tracy, are you having those conversations? And how do you break through somebody who's maybe stuck in this product mode, not thinking about their partner's brand?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of the challenge. Before you said that piece, though, I was thinking to your presentation prior where you said co-branding and co-selling is the hardest part. And in my mind, I was thinking, why does it have to be? And it doesn't have to be. I think it just takes a lot of dedication on all sides. And maybe sometimes a creative partner or somebody who can act as a liaison in those situations. So, I mean, in our instance, so as an example, to make this sort of practical, one of the things we started doing is helping our supplier clients with their brand pages or buy pages on their side, in addition to creating co-branding. But it takes a lot of personalization, knowing your partners, knowing what kind of partner they are to be able to really truly collaborate. And so I think a huge part of adoption is perhaps they're not sure it's for them. They don't feel dialed in. They don't feel maybe even heard sometimes because those conversations aren't being had. So I think maybe sometimes there's just an old-fashioned, personalized sales approach.
But you have to take the time to get to know the customers. If you take a blanketed approach to your channel program and you paint them all with the same brush, they're out. They're not gonna engage. You build it, they're not coming. You didn't tell them about it, they don't know about it. Right? So there's a lot of real simplicity to that. But at the same time, they want field support. They want something actionable that they can take and use. We can build beautiful automated partner portals and nobody's gonna go in them and pull things down. But it's very unlikely that it'll happen that way. So you've got to go into them and bring them and bring it to life in front of them. Go to them and help them host an event. Go to them and help them go on a call. Offer up your techs, offer up your financial people. You know, let them go and have subject matter experts that you have. Look at your program differently versus, you know, the box program. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to have case studies. I'm going to have white papers, all the normal stuff. And, you know, you can have that all for background. But the stuff up front that you're leading with has to be differentiated.
Yeah, I like the part this morning. They talked about the field of dreams.
Right.
And they won't come. We actually asked the question. I'm fascinated by it. You know, why partners? We hear resource challenges. I don't have the skills. Sometimes I don't have the will to live. You know, there's demographic challenges. I mean, there's a whole bunch of challenges they'll tell you as examples of why they don't do it. The actual number is 66% of partners don't do it themselves. You build the perfect portal, self-service. It's all automated. It's beautiful. It's packaged for them. And they won't do it. So they obviously need concierge or white glove services. They need the help. And they're either do it for me or do it on behalf of me. The only difference there is I understand what marketing is and I think it can be beneficial. So please do it for me. Or maybe it's beneficial. I don't care. Do whatever you want. But yeah, you can use my brand to do it. That's the do it for me, you know, and do it on behalf of me type of folks. So love to, you know, get into that a little bit further. So Angela, what are you hearing in terms of not only the challenges, but, you know, how do you manage these partner relationships that are all very different, and how do you do that at scale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a couple challenges that maybe haven't been mentioned yet is one is that the partner feels disingenuous with some of those like co-selling, co-branding things, right? They are positioning themselves as a neutral third party, a carrier agnostic sort of person. And so if they go to their list with this thing that has your logo this big, when the recipient opens it up, they're very hesitant to use that. So that's one thing I tell carriers that we work with, like, downplay your brand, right? Like, maybe provided by at the very bottom, right? Like, downplay it so that and take your colors, like, put them in grayscale, right? Like, let the partner's colors come through. Because otherwise they're not gonna feel like it's coming from them. And tone down your boardroom marketing, right? Like, partners don't put themselves out there like that. They're more conversational, they're more about the relationship. So those are some of like the big like disconnects happening. And then your other question was, how do you manage the
how do you do it at scale?
Relationship. It's hard, right? Because it is very personalized. I'm not sure that I think there's certain things that can be built, and these platforms and all of those things are great, but I do think it does need that last mile personal touch to personalize it on the on behalf of that partner so that it's genuine and it's well received and they feel good about it and they're comfortable sending it out to their list.
Yeah. I think part of that too is you have to look at, do you need to scale it to that extent? Is there a way to segment your partners where you can say, these are the top performing or high potential partners. I'm going to invest more here. And then there's going to be others there. We were in a meeting before in sales, and she called it smarketing, where she had sales and marketing together meetings so that she could identify the marketing CMO. She could identify what were the right partners. Which partners are you guys, the sales guys, seeing more success with? She would ask them, and they'd have conversations. And then she got a cheap profile out of that, right? She got like kind of something she could sketch with and be, okay, I'm going to go market more effort and energy this way. And that way she could scale those partners, opportunity partners, and let them tell their stories, and it would attract like partners. So that's another way to build scale. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, do you need it? And if you don't, then here's a small resource that you can use, and you can have something for everybody else to play in. You know, here's a playground for everybody else, but here's the elite suite.
I think Angela made a great point because, it, you know, the thing that I think we all struggle with is is we want to do more, right? And less, in this case, is actually a lot more. I loved Brian Fanzo this morning. He's a great speaker. But it got me really thinking about something he said. Business, the future of business is community. And think about your channel as a community. They're your community, right? And they can be your huge fan base. But oftentimes, we're not thinking about how to truly integrate them as part of what the company is trying to offer downstream to that end business, when they are very much, as your channel partner, very much a part of how your product or service solution gets delivered, right? And so super simple things like every vendor meeting I've sat in, I said, all right, are you guys providing the same kind of sales training information you provide to your direct sales force? It's like, nope. They're your partners. They need that. They can't afford to do that, right? They need that. Or information that you have about the people you're selling to now, you know, the personas and all the, you know, fancy marketing terms. Are you helping to provide some data on that? It's like, nope. That's stuff you guys already have. You have it and you're using it and you're also providing it internally to your teams. Think about some ways that you could share that with your partners, because they would eat that stuff up. It would help them a lot.
It's one of the top demands that one of the top things they ask for when we interview them. Tell them I want insights. I need market insights. I need to understand what the landscape looks like. So it's definitely an easy in for us.
Yeah, this is what we're seeing too. And even though the software side of it, or the technology side of it, is advancing over the next 5 years, artificial intelligence, machine learning, automation, predictive, prescriptive analytics, all this really cool stuff, we still think there's going to be $4 for every dollar you spend on software is going to be spent on services. And it's just not concierge, creative, white glove. Like you said, it's strategy, mm-hmm. it's go-to-market, it's very, you know, basic blocking and tackling, in some cases, consultative.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Services that go with this. So I'd love to, you know, go into that a layer deeper. Where is the money? If we look at it at a granular level today, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it's co-branded brochures or standing up a portal. What are vendors and brands asking about today? Where is the money? So maybe we'll start on this side this time.
So I feel like where it is now is events. Like a lot of money is going into events, but I know a lot of carriers are tired of money going into events because they feel like they're just paying for somebody's beer, right? So it's being requested that be funneled more into digital. So like actual lead gen campaigns is what I'm hearing, like help my partners generate leads that can turn into opportunities, turn into sales, not just generate them, but nurture. So,
yeah. A couple different things. One, and I realize this is a big word out of the gate, innovation. And really what I'm talking about is it's like, I am a scrappy channel marketer trying to find new ways in a very crowded, noisy space to differentiate, to stand out. And so I think just being willing to throw a little bit of money concentrated at some trial and error innovative things is what some of our clients are hungry for, and quite frankly what they turn to us for is to, hey, I've got this idea. Can you help me figure out if this is going to work, and or how we can play around with this, given that, you know, we have big budgets. I mean, we work with billion-dollar startups to global Fortune 500 companies. So, and of course, they're individuals within those companies because they're all people. All of our clients are people, not logos. So they're just trying to do more and make their dollars go farther and faster. And I think some of that has to do with being innovative and trying new things. On top of that, I would say, just at the very practical level, it's the investment in channel enablement and the PRM systems, because they've made an investment, and then what happens? There's a gap sometimes, and customer success, there can be a gap from the provider side, and then there's a gap on the bandwidth side of the folks who've actually bought it, the channel marketers, because in the day-to-day, they're wearing so many hats, so how do I get up to speed on this quickly? How do I make this an effective tool when support only goes so far? They don't really know my brand, all of these other things. So that's where they're investing with us. So to be that and fill that gap.
Right.
Let's go down the line. So an area of opportunity around events, but more purposeful driven events. So not the happy hour events, but more of something of, you know, something that they could do for their community, something they could do for a makeover, something along those lines. They're constantly looking for vendors to sponsor those efforts. They're very purpose driven because a lot of their business, the channel partners business, is word of mouth. And it's community centric, and it's usually, you know, there's going to be global ones out there, obviously, but a lot of these guys have a viral, you know, community that they deal with where they do one thing good, they team up with another partner, and they throw that around, the leads come to them. Because everybody's going to say leads, and honestly, how many years have we been saying leads? Like
37.
It's ridiculous, right? So, yeah, leads, let's say it again. But, you know, there's a way to have that creativity in it. Come to them with an idea. If we were to help you do X, Y, and Z, and it would show that you gave back to your community, how would that help your business? What other ways can we help your business? Tell us about what you're struggling with. They might be struggling with something really simple that you could just beam in and you would make a, you know, a really high impact on something that wouldn't cost you that much.
Great point. I'd say a lot of money being spent in lead generation. Everybody wants
lead
generation.
I guess the
challenge I see with that, though, is that when we're marketing through a channel, those leads can get very stale in a matter of hours, let alone typically the time it takes from the time the lead's generated to a handoff. And the reason why that happens is because nobody's systems are connected, right? Like if we're marketing directly down to our customers, we have systems that tell us, you know, how long, and that tell our salespeople, hey, call now, and things like that with lead scoring and such. Mm-hmm. It is really, really hard to automate that process because of the connectivity issues. And I'll tell you, even if you did, right, and I saw a really cool presentation that Liz Cope did right before lunch, and she's doing some really innovative things with how she's segmenting her customers. And she's with Ingersoll Rand. Sorry, she's the VP at Marketing Ingersoll.
No, just director.
Oh, director. There's like,
just
director. Okay.
You just got the moment.
Anytime. You can talk about what you're doing, but it's, you know, she's segmenting her leads and she's getting them out in an automated way to her partners. That's awesome. The challenge is, and it depends on what channels you're in, right? Some oftentimes the partners don't have a sales process inside their company to identify what they do when they get that lead, right? So, you know, that's where knowing and understanding how that whole lead process works. It's boring. I get it. You know, it's tough work in a lot of cases, but you can spend millions on lead generation. It's not going to work if you don't really understand the process in between and how those handoffs are happening. I think digital is going to make a big dent there, and we're going to be able to do a lot more with digital marketing and content marketing than we've ever been able to do with the old smiling gun calling and stuff. But it's still not easy.
You could too aggregate those leads and look at them collectively and look at what's being solved for. Like, what do all those leads have in common? And share that information with the partners. Let them know what the ask is in the market that they could go position themselves against, right? Because that's something they struggle with too. They're not sure if it's going to be, you know, what the business challenge is going to be, you know, and tell them what that is so that you don't have to worry about passing that lead through by the time the lead's stale. They just know that this is constantly coming up in conversation and you guys should be advocating this.
That's great. So, and I know four of you are so deep into this, and it's great to have all four of you together in one spot. It's like Clark Kent and Superman in the same spot. But if you were to break this down, everything you know, all the changes that are happening, if there's something tactical or practical or maybe action-oriented that we could walk away from, what are the one or two things that you would, where you would guide us? Maybe I'll start, let's end again.
Just channel marketing in general?
Channel marketing,
or,
yeah,
I would say, know your partners and segment them and adjust your strategy accordingly, right? I'm working with a lot of clients this year working on their inactive partners, right? So that's a whole new segment of, like, if someone has sold for you before but they didn't in the last year, that's a good place to start because they've already had an experience with you and you can go back in and hopefully, like, reactivate them. So, you know, just changing your strategy based on who your partners are, I think, is a good strategy.
It's very simple. Just start having conversations.
So almost to the extent of stop marketing and start having conversations.
On my side, I would say, you know, be more creative. Do what you got in this for. You know, go pick a partner, pick one or two partners, and try something new with them and watch it work, right? And then if it doesn't, if there's fail points, learn from the fail points really quickly, adjust, do it again. Like, we all know the block and tackle, right, for the most part. We all know, like, what, you know, the baseline. But we got to do stuff differently if we want a different outcome. We keep doing the same stuff. We're in the same conversation next year.
I'd say one thing, storytelling. Stories are magical. People can relate better and understand better with stories. We don't use enough of it in technology at all. And stories can be also shared and passed along. It was an amazing thing. Recently at our sales kickoff, we actually created a whole storyboard for everybody who's going to be on main stage and said, you know, here's your part of the story, here's your part of the story. So that at the end of the three-day event, our sales team could say, I get it. I understand what the story is, right? Super simple. Like, why we didn't think about that, I don't know, 15 years ago, made such a difference and an impact on how that sales team took that away. And now I'm hearing some of those stories being repeated, right? So just storytelling in and of itself can be a really powerful tool.
I completely agree. And one of the interesting things, and, you know, we're talking agencies here, I looked it up. There's 105,180 digital agencies. So there's not a small number. 76% of them are doing technology services now. What's interesting, where I kicked off the conversation, you know, 75% of the world goes indirectly. And we're at a B2B marketing conference where people tend to throw out the word channels easily. You know, channels could be digital channels. It could be Facebook. But the channel, and it's a little bit of a misnomer, but this is the last mile for most of the revenue that happens around the world. You don't control these people. You don't hire or fire them. You know, they're off doing their own thing. And there's just so many, you know, components to this that makes it a challenge. So when I look at those 105,000 companies, very few of them do channel marketing well. And for a couple of reasons. One is it's just not part of the marketing stack. It's just not part of the marketing motion. Two, importantly, 80% of companies, the channel is siloed. The head of channel marketing doesn't report into marketing. The head of channel marketing reports into a channel chief who also has colleagues that are sales, operations, and finance that are kind of off on their own. So to be successful, you actually have to break through that silo. And it's going to be 10 years before those are broken. So that's not changing anytime soon. And no matter how many times you tell somebody how logical it is that the channel chief should be in with the CRO, the VP of sales, and the VP of marketing, and all three should be at the table together, you're going to go blue in the face, is what we're hearing. So I'd love just maybe a couple closing comments. We have a couple minutes left and, you know, some maybe more advice
questions?
And strategic advice. Yeah, I can open up.
We can talk at you.
I was going to go for a final comment and then ask any questions.
Oh,
if you want to do it in reverse.
I'll shut up.
Well, then we'll start with you. This is why you're not a troublemaker.
Right? Well, I thought we were done in 2 minutes. So I was like, well, shoot, we've been talking. Closing comments. No. There's so much opportunity to do things the way you want to do them in this space, given all the channels that we have, that take advantage of the ones that you're not seeing your competitors, you know, do right by. Right? You know, so if you're looking out there and you're not seeing them do their events very well, you're not seeing them do, you know, their social media handles are all about them. It's like the me show, you know, it's just their brand. Do something different with your social. Get out there and do something where, you know, you're sharing stories from different magazines like Inc. and Fortune and Forbes and other things that your channel partners can then take and bounce off of. Show them where that opportunity is in the marketplace.
Yep.
You know, I guess I would say, you know, definitely less is more. How can you focus in on your partners and really get to know them more? I know that's tough to scale, trust me. You know, we market on behalf of over 500 different companies, so it's mind-blowing at times. But, you know, we're hearing a lot in this conference about how you have to have a conversation, you know, how it's really sort of marketing as changing. You got to crowdsource your content. What a better place to basically take what you're hearing at this conference and enact other than in your channel. There are partners that they depend on you, right? They're connected to you, and they're an extension of your company. Like, they could be the ones that are helping you with building out all the things that you might not even have the resources to be able to do. So to me, that's just a perfect way to just look at that group of people as, you know, they're already your community and they're already your fans. How can you help them be an extension of what you're trying to do?
Great. And when you're sharing magazine articles, maybe Channel Marketer Report and Demand Gen.
I meant things outside of the other industries. Yes, you're right. Those do as well.
Okay, great. Maybe Tracy?
Yeah, final thought. So obviously in preparation for this panel, Jay had a bunch of awesome questions, and the panel ourselves came up with a bunch of questions, which we didn't get to all of today. So I'm going to blog about all of those. And I'll just pick my favorite that didn't get asked today in the interest of time. And the favorite was really about advice, like career advice, because I've talked to quite a few people that this is their first B2B MX conference, and they're maybe 1 to 2 years in channel roles. And the advice I would give and the things I would say are the same things I said to a group of Girl Scouts 2 weeks ago. I had that privilege and honor to talk to them about careers, and that is, nobody has it all figured out. I don't care if they look like they do. It's okay. So just keep trying to figure it out, learn more, be hungry, and all that stuff, and don't let the fear or lack of knowledge get you down, because there's always so much to learn. We can just drive ourselves crazy with that. So in terms of career advice, that's part of it with channel, because it just is so complex. I'm honored to constantly be learning and learning from these amazing people. You know, the other thing is, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't try to do it all alone and do it perfectly. Obviously, I believe that since nothing is created alone is sort of our motto. I just think that on top of all of that, too, the stress that comes from trying to do that creates disease. And so above all, self-care is pretty important. So I know that's a little bit on the lighter side, but we're whole human beings. And I think showing up as whole human beings is really important. And yeah.
So fake it till you make it. I think that's been the foundation of my career. So I made it.
You might have that fight, man.
I'm going to go there.
No, not my DNA.
I would say just remember that the channel is a relationship-driven organization. What my big takeaway from this conference is the customer experience. So I would say translate that into the partner experience. And partners are going to be loyal to the companies that treat them truly like partners and part of a community and a family. So think about how you can, you know, implement that with your channel programs.
Great. Terry, do we have time for...
We're done.
How about one really quick question?
One quick question.
Come on. Anybody have a quick question before Terry kicks us out of here? Right here.
You mentioned things about essentially if you're for them or if you're half of them talk about concierge programs. Do any of you guys have stories of success with concierge programs? Or like, has that kind of had like a good experience?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we help a lot of carriers implement through their partners. We help a lot of partners go to their carrier for MDF and then implement lead gen campaigns or events or whatever. And it is, I think unless the partner has internal marketing resources, it's really helpful to have an outside entity helping them cross the T's, dot the I's. They get frustrated the second they log into an email platform and can't run it. So having that concierge ensures that it's more successful.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Can I get a round of applause for our panel?